First Samuel chapter 1. Let us read verses 9 to 11, or 12 again. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. She vowed a vow, and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. It came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. You know, beloved, it's certain that this was not the first time that Hannah prayed or poured out her heart before God. For surely her godly character, as we seen last week, and the gracious conduct evidenced and proved her undevoted or undivided devotion and love for God. She had prayed probably many times for a child. But it was her bitterness of soul and her great sorrow which set her to pray like she'd never prayed before. She begins it with a vow, which actually wasn't right for her to do that. According to Old Testament, a woman couldn't make a vow without the agreement of her husband. And if he denied that vow, no matter what she vowed, it was annulled. But Hannah is in desperation. She's in bitterness of soul and she's grieving heavily. And she comes before the Lord and she begins to pour out her heart before God like she's never prayed before. Though prayer, I'm sure, was not a stranger to Hannah. Have you ever been there in your own life where you prayed for something a multitude of times, yet there come or came a time when you prayed for that so fervently and so diligently like never before? It was like it was the first time you ever made that request before God. That's the way it was with Hannah. I'm sure she prayed many times. God, open up my barren womb. Give me children. Yet God brought her to a breaking point where she was in such bitterness of soul and in sore grief that she prayed before God like she'd never prayed before. Beloved, God sets our heart in tune to pray as we ought. This is what's wonderful about prayer. There's something wonderful about it, but there's something also that's very strange and very mystical about prayer. It was Martin Luther who said, it's a hard thing to pray right. To approach God and know that God hears our prayer when we say, Our Father which art in heaven. But God had brought Hannah to a point in her life to where she was almost broken. And when she was broken, lying before God on her face, she began to pray in a way which she'd never prayed before. And God honored that prayer by putting it in His eternal book. And beloved, God does the same thing with us many times. We'll pray for something and pray for something and pray for something. We just don't get an answer. And then God will bring a bitterness to our soul and a sorrow in such a manner that our hearts break and we pray vehemently, compassionately, like we've never prayed before. It was the psalmist in Psalm 130 who said, Out of the depths have I cried unto Thee, O Lord. Out of the depths have I cried unto Thee. Out of the depths of her great sorrow, in the midst of her bitterness of soul, Hannah lifts up her prayers to God. where such depths would engulf and silence many people. And how many times are we guilty of the same thing? When God doesn't answer our prayers, we just give up praying. We leave off praying. Hannah didn't do that. She kept praying and kept praying until there came a bitterness upon her soul and a sore grief upon her that she began to pray like she'd never prayed before. And yet it's such out of such depths that the believer really learns how to pray. Beloved, we are all guilty of leaving off prayer too soon. Not praying as we ought. Not putting enough faith and energy and effort into our prayers. Martin Luther was right. Prayer is a hard thing. You know, so many times we hear and understand the promises of God and then we flippantly take them into prayer and wonder why God doesn't answer our prayers. The question of it is, are we fervently, effectually praying? James says, the prayer of a righteous man, the effectual prayer of a righteous man, worketh much. He was talking about Elijah. Remember when there was no rain and God said, pray for rain, and Elijah was praying, he had his servant, and Elijah was praying, and he sent his servants off to look in the horizon. The servant came back and said, no, ain't no rain yet. And Elijah kept praying. He sent him back again. The servant said, still ain't there. Elijah said, go look a third time. And he prayed. And he said, oh, I see a small cloud on the horizon. Elijah kept praying. I kept praying. Sometimes, dearly beloved, God desires that we pray out of the depths, the bitterness of our souls and sorrows. And like I said earlier, that would engulf and silence a hypocrite. But for the true believer, it just encourages and inspires him to pray even more diligently. He cannot leave off prayer. You remember Jonah? Though Jonah had sought to ignore and rebel against God, in the belly of the fish. Listen to this. In the belly of the fish, Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God, and God heard him in his affliction. You know what's amazing about that story? Is when Jonah finds that ship and gets on it, and they all begin to part for Tarshish, and a storm comes, and all the men start praying to their gods. They go down underneath, and they find Jonah fast asleep, and they say, why ain't you praying? He wasn't praying on the ship and in the storm. But all as soon as God got him in the belly of that fish, Jonah began to cry. Sometimes God will put us in the belly of the fish to teach us to pray. Thank God that He'll constrain us to pray, even from the belly of a fish. Jonah never prayed like he prayed that day. And God heard his prayer. Remember Hezekiah? Isaiah the prophet came in and pronounced a death sentence and said, you're going to die. Set your house in order. And Isaiah left and Hezekiah turned to the wall and it said that he prayed and he wept before God. And it says that God heard his prayer and seen his tears, and God granted him 15 more years. Jeremiah hadn't got out of the palace, or Isaiah hadn't got out of the palace. God heard Hezekiah's prayer and seen his tears, and God said, go back to Hezekiah, tell him I'll grant him 15 more. Prayer is powerful. And sometimes we don't see the beauty of it until we're put in a position by God's sovereign goodness and mercy to where we're broken vessels. And we lift up like Hannah, out of bitterness of our soul and out of grief, and we begin to pray in such a manner we've never prayed before, and that brings such honor and glory to God. And God said, oh, that's the prayer that glorifies me the most, that has faith and submission to me in the midst of their sorrows, that can pray and ask a petition of me. So many times other people have done that and we've done that. We've had a promise, like I've said. We take it in prayer. We wonder why God doesn't answer. What's the promise right there in God's Word? Did we pray aright? Were our prayers effectual, fervent, humble, submissive? You know, God's not interested in the words we place before Him in prayer. He's looking at the heart. He's looking at our character and our conduct, the attitude of our minds, more than our words. So many times we walk away from prayer discouraged. But could it be that we haven't prayed aright? Remember when Jeremiah was cast into the pit? When I was growing up, went to Sunday school, they'd always tell me, don't ever forget Jeremiah's telephone number to God. Now, that's kind of basic and simple, but I always remember that. Jeremiah 33:3. Good number to remember. Call upon me, and I'll show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not of. You know where Jeremiah got that promise? When he was in the midst of a pit. You know what a pit was? It was a huge hole, muddy hole, that they kept wet, watered, mud. You couldn't climb up the sides, and the mud usually is up to your waist, and you sat in that pit for days and weeks. In the midst of that pit, God told Jeremiah, call unto me, and I'll show you great and mighty things that you know not of. Thank God, God will teach us to pray. You know, the disciples asked the Lord, teach us to pray. God will teach His children to pray. Even if He has to break us, He'll teach us to pray. All those that come unto me, I will no wise cast out. I'll not lose one sheep. There's no such thing as prayer warriors. None of us know enough about prayer to be called a prayer warrior. If we do know individuals who can pray, it's because God has broken them and taught them the beauty and blessings of praying from a broken and contrite spirit, which God dwells with. God said, I dwell with such as a broken and contrite spirit. And beloved, that's how our prayers must be lifted up to God, not in pride or arrogancy, but in brokenness of spirit and contrite heart, humble and submissive, full of faith in God and His person and His promises. For many times, it's out of such depths that our hearts are set in tune to pray like we've never prayed before, thus revealing unto us the infinite and gracious power God has given to prayer. There is, like the old Puritan said, a sovereign power in prayer. Someone says, Well, brother, God's sovereign. You can't change His mind. I'm not talking about changing God's mind. I'm talking about being God's perfect will. God has ordained prayer to have a sovereign power to it. What if God has ordained us to pray for something to fulfill His perfect will? Therefore, let's look at this prayer a little bit this morning. Just a few pointers, and I hope and pray it would help us to pray as we ought. I want you to notice, first of all, that like all true prayer, there is a submission to God's sovereign will. I want you to listen to me this morning. It's vitally important. Just 2 points this morning. I want you to notice, first of all, that there is a submission to God's sovereign will in her prayer. Listen to this. In verse 11, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if Thou wilt, indeed, look on the affliction of Thy handmaid. You see the humility and submission in her prayer? If Thou wilt. Beloved, she has a strong petition. She has a vow. She wants something desperately. She wants a man-child. And yet, when she begins her prayer, it's not one of desperation, but it's one of humility and submission. O Lord of hosts, and I won't go there, but that's the first time He's named that in the Bible. It says it in chapter 1, verse 3, but it's the writer who's saying it. She is the first person to call Him, O Lord of hosts. If Thou wilt, answer Thy handmaid. Beloved, that's how all true prayer should start. With that humility and submission of heart and mind before God. That is what glorifies God. Sure, and I'll see that, show that in a moment. We come boldly before the throne of grace, but it's to find mercy in time of need. It's not our boldness. It's the boldness of faith, the boldness that we have in Christ. Beloved, I believe many of our prayers go unanswered because we don't enter into prayer like this. We don't approach the throne of grace in this humble, submissive spirit. We want something and we almost demand it of God. God, this is Your promise and we demand it. It might be a promise of God, but we have no right to demand that promise without having a spirit of submissive humbleness to His sovereign will. I said it yesterday, but somebody asked me this last week, said, we prayed according to a promise of God's Word, and God didn't answer that, but God promises in the Word. Why does it appear as though God didn't answer us? And I'm not going to criticize or judge anybody's prayer life. I have enough to judge of my own. But beloved, God does honor His promises. He does answer prayer. But beloved, we can't even take promises God's given to us and come before the throne of grace and demand them in a spirit of arrogancy. And I'm not saying that's what was executed, but it's got to be a spirit of submissiveness and humbleness before God. If Thou wilt, she's in dire need of a child, but she still says, but let it be according to Your will. I want you to follow me. This is important. This doesn't mean she doesn't have the right to ask for her petition, as we'll see in a minute, but this is how we must begin our prayers. It must begin with submissiveness and a humbleness to God's will. If Thou wilt. Beloved, though Christ Himself has put no boundaries or limitations on prayer, did He not Himself say that all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive? Isn't that what He said? All things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. He puts no limitations on it, no boundaries. You're going to get everything believing when you pray. Yet, beloved, every true prayer is a petition of submission to God's infinite wisdom and grace. Lord, I need this. Lord, I want this. Yet if Thou wilt, if it's in Your divine purpose and plan for me, if it's for my betterment, for my good. Sometimes we don't see that. Remember Paul, when he had an affliction, he said, I prayed 3 times, Lord, take this thorn out of my flesh. It's hindering me. And the Lord said, no, that thorn's there, placed there by me, is an ambassador of grace to keep you humble. When God told Paul that, Paul says, oh, then therefore all glory in it. You see, we don't have the insight God does. So what we think we want, desire, or even need, it might not be in accordance to what God has planned for us in His perfect will, in His infinite wisdom. So therefore all petitions must begin with this submissive humbleness to God's will. If Thou wilt. Let me give you a few examples of that. I looked again over this verse this last week, this morning, and it's profound. And it's just, I've read it many times, but it still, especially this morning, just struck me. Remember when the Lord was in the garden? Listen to what He prayed. Remember He's praying in the garden. Listen to what He said. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. Did you catch something in there?
if it be possible. Beloved, is anything impossible for God? Do you ever think about those words? If it be possible. Well, if you're the Son of God, you know there's nothing impossible for God. God could have took that cup away. If it be possible. It was possible. But what is he saying? Not possible that God can't do it, but if it's involved in your will, if it's part of your plan, if it's what you desire, if it be possible, if in any way it could be part of your perfect will for what I'm fixing to face, then take this cup away from me, yet not my will but thine. He's saying, that's what he's saying. Is it part of your divine plan and purpose? Yet not my will but thine. Beloved, this was and is the greatest example of submission and prayer, for all things are possible for God. All things are possible for God. Yet if his drinking of the cup was in accordance to God's sovereign will, and it was, God's sovereign plan, and it was, then not as I will, but as thou wilt. Could we say that? There was a time in my life, and I'll just be real brief on this, when I found out that I had very bad disease, could have been terminal, and it just kind of shook my faith a little bit. And I spent many a nights praying, asking God, why? Well, what did I do? He's trying to do what's right, and just trying to... And I struggled with that thing for over a year and a half. And I give all God the glory for it, but struggled with that thing for over a year and a half. But it was only till God brought me to a point in my life to where I accepted this as being God's will that God actually healed me of it. You following me? When I accepted it, when I embraced it, then God healed me. Not when I asked to be delivered or healed, but when I embraced it and said, okay, if this is what you want, this is what I'll submit to. And again, I give God all the glory for that, because it took Him a year and a half to get through this thick head of mine. I'm a slow learner. This is how God answers our prayers. By first us acknowledging, God, I'm fixing to lay a petition before you that probably I really truly need. Yet even in that need, I want you to know I'm ready to submit myself to whatever you choose for me. Therefore, beloved, often it's our desire and willingness, listen to me, our desire and willingness to submit to God's perfect will that moves God to grant our petition. It's almost a paradox, but it's when we're willing to submit ourselves to God's perfect will that God then is willing to grant our petition. But when we come to Him and say, I have it no other way, this is what I want, this is what you have to do, God says, no, that's a little bit arrogant. Thy kingdom come, excuse me, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven comes before give us this day our daily bread. Excuse me. So before we ask God to give us, yes, Lord, your will be done. And beloved, God will often test our willingness to submit to His sovereign will before answering or granting our petitions. God will test us. Are you willing to submit to something contrary to what you want or desire? Are you willing to submit to me anyway? And as soon as we show the willingness to do that, oftentimes God says, then I'll grant your request. If thou wilt. There was submissiveness and humbleness. Second point, real quickly. Yet out of this humble submissiveness, watch this,
arises a faith and courage to boldly petition God. Now that sounds like a paradox, doesn't it? But out of her submissiveness, there arose a boldness of faith and confidence. Watch what she says in verse 11, just this part. "And remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but will give." Let's read that whole thing. "And she vowed a vow and said unto the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but will give unto thy handmaid." See? If you'll give it now, she comes the boldness. Out of that submissiveness arose a boldness that could say, "But if you'll give me." Beloved, this is the language of Scripture, the language of faith. The world would say, "That's a paradox. That's crazy. You can't have that. You can't have submissiveness and boldness." Yes, you can. We can be submissive and bold at the same time. Yet not fleshly, carnal boldness, but a boldness that arises out of faith in God, His character, His person, His promises, to where out of that submissiveness arises a faith which the world knows nothing of. Remember when Jacob met the angel and they wrestled all night? That was the Lord Jesus Christ, just to make a short point. He wrestled him all night long. Angel in the morning said, "I got to go." Jacob said, "No, not unless you bless me." Jacob wouldn't let him go. Angel touched his thigh. He limped the rest of his life. Don't you think that angel could have done that right when they started? But the angel allowed himself to wrestle with Jacob all night. And oh, beloved, God says, "Wrestle with me in prayer. Plead my promises. Beg of me. Bring your petition before me like Jacob did. Wrestle with me all night. Refuse to let me go." The angel could have touched him the very second they started. But he let Jacob wrestle. You know what the Bible says about that in Hosea? Said Jacob had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. Said he had power with God. He had power with God. Talking about prayer, he had power with God. That's the same thing Hannah has. "If thou wilt." And out of that submissiveness rose, "Give me." Beloved, out of such humble submissiveness arises a faith to boldly approach the throne of grace in time of need. That's how all true prayer must begin. "If thou wilt." Here's a vow. I'm ready to make a vow. "If thou wilt." And out of that submissiveness arises, "Give me." And God honors that. Oh, beloved, out of the bitterness of her soul, and out of a great grief, Hannah prayed like she never prayed before, and God heard it, and it was sweet, sweet smelling incense unto Him. It was a sweet savor unto Him. It was a melody enjoyed. A broken and contrite spirit, humbly, submissively praying unto Him, but yet in that faith that says, "But give me." And the closing point you'll find in verse 12. "And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord." She persevered. Might not have happened the first time she prayed like that. It said she continued. She persevered. She kept praying and didn't stop. Beloved, how many times I'd hate for the Lord to show me that. How many times I didn't receive an answer to my prayer because I left it off too early. Beloved, Hannah shows us how to pray. There's other things in here we could have looked at, but I felt these are the things that we needed. A submissive humbleness in prayer, "If thou wilt." Out of that arises a faith and a courage to say, "God, give me." And continue in that prayer. Because, beloved, God will break us to teach us how to pray. And I'm telling you, a lot of times our prayers go unanswered because we don't prove to God we're willing to submit to His sovereign will. We're asking a petition and we don't want it any other way. Instead of saying, "God, if there's a better way." You know what's going to happen in 10 minutes, next week, tomorrow? I don't.
You know me better than myself. I feel I need this. I feel I want this. I feel I've got to have this. Yet even though I feel so strongly about it, if Thou wilt, then give me. Follow that? If Thou wilt, then give me. And watch how God answers prayer. Prayer is a wonderful thing. I have yet to learn how to pray right. I feel about prayer the same way Lloyd Jones felt about preaching. Lloyd Jones was a great preacher in England. Died in the 80s, I believe. Great preacher. Somebody asked him one time, he preached for years, asked him one time, have you ever really thought you really or believed you really preached a sermon? And he said, only one time. And everybody went, and he said, then I woke up. In other words, he said, I've never really preached. I've never really prayed. But I want to. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we're humbled by our great insufficiency and weakness and inability to pray as we ought. Lord, You promised us in Romans chapter 8 that the Holy Spirit would help our infirmities, for we know not what we ought to pray for as we ought. We pray, please let the Holy Spirit be our teacher and guide. Let not this message, Lord God, leave our hearts and our minds as we walk out the door. But Father, we pray, help us to put these truths into practice. Lord, may we apply them until they effectually work in ourselves. Lord, we have many loved ones that are lost without Christ. We have many troubles and problems and needs. Lord, are we praying as we ought? Holy Spirit of God, teach us to pray. Father, I pray that You'd guide us now through this day and this week. Thank You for all the goodness You've given to us. We love You and we thank You for all things. Be especially with Polly, Lord God, as she's in the hospital. May You watch over her, keep her safe. May You physically heal her. Father, we pray that You'd be with her and draw nigh to her. Father, we pray, Lord God, for all the people in Holiday Hill, especially Lewis. We pray that, Lord, You'd watch over him. It was heartbreaking to hear him yesterday. Pray that You comfort him. Be with those in the high rise. Father, many people are still in a need. So much need. So many reasons to pray. And yet we leave off prayer. Father, give us a praying spirit, we pray. Guide us now through this day, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Lord bless you.